I can invite you to remain standing with our scripture reading, which comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to share a meal in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. A man suffering from an abnormal swelling of the body was there. Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Does the law allow healing on the Sabbath or not?" But they said nothing. Jesus took hold of the sick man, cured him, and let him go. He said to them, "Suppose your child or an ox fell into a ditch on the Sabbath day. Wouldn't you immediately pull it out?" But they had no response. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. If I can invite you to be seated, please. This morning we're going to continue our sermon series as we're looking at the unorthodox or the different ways that Jesus chose to be in ministry with people as He pointed their eyes towards God's kingdom. In terms of the ways that He related to people and the ways that He taught, and today as we talk about what it meant for Him to be a rule breaker, we're going to see in the Gospels, and we see in the Gospels when we read them, different ways that Jesus chose to offer Himself in a different way that was different from the Pharisees, that was different from those that He was usually compared to. And so this morning's Scripture is no different. If we look at the Scriptures, we see where Jesus was often compared to the Pharisees, to see what they were doing, to see how they chose to live, and people would look to Him and see how He did differently, and then He would either be criticized for it or He would be commended for it, depending on who you were and how you thought He should act and who He should be. Jesus was often looked to as the Pharisees were held up, as they compared the two. When it came to the cleanliness laws, when it came to interacting with other people, when it came to choosing how He was going to live and whether or not He was ritually pure or whether He was going to be unclean in others' eyes. And so this morning's Scripture is similar to what we've looked at the past few weeks, where we see Jesus taking a different approach from what was being taught by the Pharisees, from what was being modeled by them, as they chose to instruct other faithful Jews how they were to follow the law and how they were to live in a way that was considered clean. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that one of the things that I had read in one of the commentaries is that the Pharisees differed in terms of how they read the books of Moses, the first five books of the law, in terms of being clean and being ritually pure, because they believed that the extreme must be done in order for one to be considered a faithful follower of God, a faithful man or woman engaged in Jewish religious practice. And so one example of that would be that they believed that the practices or the laws that applied for the high priest to be able to enter the holiest of holy places in the temple, which only happened once a year on the Day of Atonement, they believed that if those practices are what were needed to be in the presence of God in the temple, those are also the laws and the practices that ordinary people going through their day-to-day rituals and routines in their homes should be able to follow or should follow to be in a right relationship with God. Another area that the Pharisees looked at and spent a lot of time talking about, depending on the Pharisee that you chose to follow, you might have a different interpretation, but they would all talk about what it meant to keep the Sabbath. What it means to consider the Sabbath as a day of rest, as a day of worship, as a day to stay in the home and to not work. And they spent a lot of time talking about what was permissible on the Sabbath. What are you allowed to do on the Sabbath? Versus what is considered too much work, and so you're not allowed to do it. And that's where this morning's Scripture brings us, as we find Jesus in conflict with the Pharisees. In this morning's Scripture, Jesus has been invited to eat in the home of one of the leading Pharisees. He's been invited to this Sabbath day banquet or meal. And this Pharisee has invited other Pharisees to come and eat with him and with Jesus. This is like Jesus walking into the lion's den, isn't it? If you think about it. Now, this could be a Pharisee that maybe wanted to find out more of who Jesus was, but Luke gives us a clue on that when he says they were watching him closely. So this wasn't a Pharisee like Nathanael that we read about in the book of John, or of Joseph of Arimathea, who was also a Pharisee or a Sadducee that was a secret follower of Jesus. Luke doesn't give us any information of that. Luke instead tells us that he's brought Jesus into his home in order for all of them to observe what he had said, to observe how he ate, and just to see what he was going to do. As the big question is there, where they ask the question, is this man going to obey the law? And so it's this dinner that we read about. A man who comes into this home, who is suffering from physical ailments. He's had many years of swelling in his body. For years he has dealt with it. And so he comes to find Jesus so the man could beg of Jesus to heal him, to stop the pain, to allow him to get on with life. And instead of helping him, Jesus looks at the Pharisees, and what does he say? He says, does the law allow healing or not? And see, in my mind, I look and I see them sitting around a table as they often did, and Jesus asking that question and then his eyes panning over the whole group. And none of the Pharisees are willing to answer him. None of them are willing to make the statement, the decision, the declaration, the realization of what it means to help another person on the Sabbath. Instead of answering him, Luke writes that they remained silent. So Jesus healed the man, then he lets him go, and then as the man leaves, he says, suppose your child or an ox fell into a ditch on the Sabbath day. Wouldn't you immediately pull it out? Again, there was silence. I think in our minds we have answers, don't we? But to both of these questions that the Pharisees were posed by Jesus, they didn't respond, they didn't answer. We don't know if this man who suffered from this condition of painful swelling was already a follower of Jesus. We don't know if he was a man who had somehow heard from someone else of what had happened, of this carpenter from Nazareth that was performing healings. Perhaps he had heard of others or witnessed others being healed, and so he sought Jesus out. There are some that also wonder if this man was a plant, and that the Pharisees had arranged for him to come in, that someone had let him know that Jesus of Nazareth, this man who is proclaimed to be the Messiah, who has said he is the Son of God, who has performed healings in other ways, is going to be at this house at this time, and we want you to be here. Could they have set him up? I don't know. I mean, you read the Scripture and it could be presented that way, where their intent could have been to have this man show up at the home of the host with all of these Pharisees gathered around, and Luke writes they are watching him closely. Are they trying to force Jesus' hand here? Did they want Jesus to be faced with the decision of what he was going to do or what he was willing to do sitting in their presence? Would he heal this man? Would he do it in the presence of the Pharisees? There are many healings that the Pharisees has heard of, and there are many that we read about in the Gospels. And the thing that I think we have to see and we have to remember is that in every healing, God's glory is revealed. Even this healing on this Sabbath day, and there are seven others where Jesus healed on the Sabbath. In Luke 4:38, Jesus heals the mother-in-law of Simon Peter from serious illness, and she had fever in Capernaum. In Luke 6:6, Jesus heals a man who he writes had a withered hand. In Luke 13:13, Jesus heals a woman who has suffered from physical back pain that she was bent over for 18 years. In John 9, we read about Jesus healing a woman at the pools of Bethesda. In Mark 1:21, Jesus heals a man from Capernaum who was possessed by a demon. And then in this morning's scripture, he heals a man who has had abnormal swelling of his body. All of these people were healed on the Sabbath. And all of them we're going to see something in a minute. See, in the Old Testament, there was a strict code of what it came to keep the Sabbath, of what it meant to keep the Sabbath, of what it meant to observe the Sabbath as a day of rest. Meals were to be prepared on the Sabbath day. They were to be prepared the day before the Sabbath day. There were strict rules on how your animals and your livestock could be cared for and how they could not be cared for. In the Qumran, or Dead Sea Scrolls that were found in the 1940s, it reads that no one should help an animal give birth on the Sabbath day because that's considered work. And if you make the animal fall into a well or a pit, if you make it, you should not take it out on the Sabbath day. But if the animal falls in it on its own, you're allowed to help it get out of the pit because you're not working the animal to get it in the pit. Does it make sense? It doesn't make sense to me either. When it came to life, if a woman went into labor on the Sabbath, the midwife was allowed to help deliver the baby because labor could not be stopped or put off. On the eighth day after the birth of a young boy, of a male child, if the eighth day fell on the Sabbath, then the act of circumcision was allowed because that was a rite, a sacred act, and a sign of the covenant. See, I'd kind of think that was work, but who am I to make this pronouncement? You know, those are just a couple of examples that help us see how so much time and energy had to go into what it meant to be a faithful follower of God. Especially if you were following along the thread of the Pharisees. And Jesus wanted the Pharisees to answer this question of why is it okay to rescue your animal on the Sabbath, to do some of these other things that are approved, when it's unacceptable for a person to receive healing on the Sabbath day, when it's unacceptable for them to have their relationship with all people restored and with others. And so Jesus broke the rule of the Sabbath in order to bless this man who came to him. He ate with unwashed hands. He ate with tax collectors. He ate with sinners. He ate with those that were considered unclean. He swiped food from people's fields. He declared himself God. He violated taboos. He promoted and did things that were contrary to everything that the Pharisees taught. All of those things were rules that he broke, including the one today. But I think what we have to see and remember is the reason he did them was not so that he would be lifted up or promoted, but he did them so that God would be glorified. And so he didn't just break rules to break the rules. He broke the rules to bless others. As this man stood in front of him, begging for healing, the Pharisees are looking and watching. Jesus blessed him so that his life would be renewed. He blessed him so that God would be shared with all of them. And he helped all those who came in contact with him, or many of those who came in contact with him, to discover the love that God had for them. See, Jesus himself said that he came for all people so that we might discover the new set of rules that God had set out for us. He wanted the people to see and to discover that God is a God of love, not of judgment. That God is not a God of harshness. If God is not a God of unforgiveness. What he wanted the people to see and what he wants us to see is that we have to go beyond just being law keepers, but instead being grace givers. See, when he looked at the Pharisees, he looked and he saw people that on the outside were doing all of the right things, but on the inside were stinking. Because he wants all of us to be guided, to be channeled, to be directed by and from the change that happens in our hearts as we choose to follow him. As we choose to give him credit for the work that he has done and is doing in our lives. And as we receive the grace that God gives us, that God allows to dwell within us so that it will flow outward from our lives into the lives of others. But it's not for our glory. It's so that others might receive the blessing of God that he offers each of us. See, Jesus was unorthodox in the way that he looked at the rules that had been laid out for the people. But he didn't break them just to break them. He didn't break them just to hack someone off. He didn't break them to give himself an advantage. He broke them only in times and in ways where he might be a blessing to other people. And in ways that God would be glorified. You know, when it all comes down to what we do as a follower of Jesus, one of the ultimate ends, I believe, we should be able to say is that we've done all that we have done, not for our own glory, but so that God would have all the glory. And so that people would experience and encounter the grace that Christ offers us and the forgiveness that God has given each of us. May we be purposeful in the way that we live and in the way that we respond to the gift of life that God gives us this day and every day. Amen.